You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. Today, let's begin with a Hail Mary, shall we? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Well, I hope this broadcast finds you well, because instead of suffering, we're going to be talking about joy. Yay! The healing power of joy. And sometimes when we feel discouraged and sometimes we feel challenged by some problem, we may think that we have to give up being joyful and get upset. But the ability to feel and show joy doesn't come from favorable circumstances of our human life. It actually comes from God. We can't lose joy any more than we can lose God. And we are forever in the presence of God. He is all-powerful and totally good. Joy as a spiritual quality lasts forever. And guess what? We always have it. Having joy includes feeling good cheer and a vibrant happiness. But joy, in its fuller spiritual meaning of expressing God's goodness, involves much more. It's deep-rooted, and it's an inspired happiness. The Holy Bible says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength," in Nehemiah chapter 8. The Bible says God gives us joy and peace. He tells us that real joy comes from God and is ours forever. The joy that is found in God's presence, it isn't static. It transforms and regenerates us. Paul, a follower of Jesus Christ, wrote in a letter that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Spirit is another name for God. Spiritual joy from God gives us a sense of the presence of good, showing His infinite power to govern the lives of men and women. And so as we learn more that God is all, and that He is good, and that there is no power besides Him, spiritual joy will be ours more and more, bringing healing and happiness into our life. At the heart of joy, it's an unshakable awareness that we possess good from God. Joy is part of God's kingdom. Harmony and painless being are spiritual qualities. And expressing joy brings these qualities into view into our lives. Sometimes, though, it does seem like hard work to feel a spiritual, consistent joy, right? The task gets easier when you recognize that you have the power to govern how you think. Let me say that again. The task gets easier when you recognize that you have the power to govern how you think. There isn't anything that can really take away your knowledge of God or stop you from feeling spiritual joy. You can let this spiritual sense be yours instead of thoughts of discouragement or despair. If it still seems difficult to express joy, you might even need to argue with yourself that you have power from God to do it, right? So, my friends, during this time and this experience, pray. Pray to ask God's understanding for his unshakable goodness and to know joy that it comes from him. You will be free from fear. Peace will come into your hearts. You will feel safe. There is a healing power of joy. If you're facing trying times and want to feel the presence of God's healing power, instead of discouragement, argue with yourself that you can know the joy God is giving you right now. Don't believe that you have to feel desperate about any problem. All that God gives you is always present, ready for your recognition and expression. You will find that when you look for the joy that comes from God, you will find it. Greater peace and harmony will follow. The joy God gives you has healing power. Christianity is the religion of joy, but few people understand what joy is or how to even gain it. The world is disturbed, isn't it? It seems that there's so much sadness, so many broken hearts, a great deal of almost despondency and fear of all those things right now in the world, and it's hard to be happy. I think a lot of people are searching around for their happiness. Maybe happiness that was easy to locate maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, even in a few short months, it might be hard to find now. It's not the case for everyone, but it's certainly the case in many parts of the world among many people. And so then the question of joy comes up, and the question of what is this Christian joy all about? If I'm not experiencing it at the moment, I'm not experiencing maybe the usual comforts and happiness that I have in the constellations that I usually have in my life. And it's a good time to ask about, well, what is Christian joy? Where am I supposed to find it? And is it something that can help me through and to be a part of even times like these to help us talk about joy? Well, a very joyful person, a person who is also a joy to be around or a good friend. That might be joy. Well, joy is like a virtue in the sense that it can become habitual. First of all, joy is nothing other than the virtue of charity. So, namely, God and the spiritual good of our neighbor, which is also, of course, a source of joy, love of God and neighbor. It is the act of divine love where we experience possessing the supreme good and experiencing it. Not on the level of our sensations or emotions necessarily, but with the conviction of the choice of our will. And this is the power that we have. Anything that we have by love can be shared. All that we have by charity can be shared. And so the fact is that we can choose to participate, so we don't have perfect joy, but we can choose to participate in the joy of the saints who do have it perfectly. We could pray in this way: Lord Jesus, I choose the infinite happiness and joy of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and I choose the happiness and joy of all the angels and saints that I love you, that I love that as you love it, and I love them with the same love, and I can actually share. You can say it vicariously if you want to, in the joy of the saints in heaven. We can make acts of joy. In other words, we can choose to, just like when we committed a sin and you're sorry you committed it, but you don't feel all that bad about it, but you know you should make an act of contrition and get to confession, and so you do. And that's real. Even if you don't feel bad about it, you know you've done something wrong and you want to be pardoned. And so you make an act of contrition, and that's true sorrow for sin, pleasing to God, and it assists your soul mightily. The same when we're in the dumps spiritually, and we're praying, and we don't feel anything. We can choose, just like with our act of contrition, to choose to be sorry. We can choose to participate in the joy of the saints. and we can second their joy or choose it or accept it as God's will for them, and therefore congratulate them and share in their happiness. This is a beautiful fact to Christian life. Paul said, I tell you, rejoice. Right? Rejoice. Jesus said, rejoice. In all things rejoice. But rather, to choose that right now in the heights of heaven, there are billions of angels and saints who are ecstatically adoring and worshiping God and enjoying themselves by the joy of the divine grace in the Blessed Trinity. And we can choose to second that and participate in it. In fact, that's what we do when we say, Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Right? We give glory to Blessed Trinity. We're simply ratifying the splendor, the joy, the perfection, the goodness of God. That's what we're actually doing, and that gives us a great increase in charity. So what about those things that we do to increase our joy? I wonder if it's a selfish thing to say, I would like to experience this joy, and I like to experience more of the joy. And I think that you'll say, no, it's not a selfish thing, but I'm not sure. But then if it's not a selfish thing, if one says that, I want to participate in this joy that the saints participate in. What are the things in a practical that I might do today to start participating in it? And what are the things that I might avoid that I might not notice? Well, simply this: joy is the first act of divine love. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are joy, peace, mercy, acts of love. These are the principal acts of the love of God in our soul. And so if we want to increase our joy, we have to strive to grow in divine charity and love of God and neighbor. At first, we pray for that. God always answers the prayer, Oh Lord, make me love you more. Or, Oh Mary, please help me to love Jesus more. That prayer is always infallibly answered. You're asking God for something he cannot possibly not give you. I mean, you can ask for a better job or for a better income, and of course, that's very important, but that may be why you're not so joyful at the moments. Some of us. But the fact is that if you ask God for that pure spiritual gift of love, you will receive it. So as we grow in charity, we know that the fruit of joy will be increased in us. And that will be a particular power that will show forth in its good time. Our Lady, when she appeared to Saint Bernadette, she held the rosary as Bernadette held a rosary. Our Lady said the rosary along with her, but she didn't say the Hail Marys. Our Lady wasn't praying to herself, but Bernadette noticed that Our Lady said the Glory Be at the end of every decade, because, of course, that's a prayer that Our Lady would naturally be saying all the time in heaven, glorifying and rejoicing in God. And so even in our rosary, when we pause for that Glory Be, we're setting aside us sinners, and at the hour of our death, all those temporary things we're going to have to go through in order to reach happiness. But then we end it with, Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And that love, which never passes away, and the joy, which is the act of love, is precisely what the Glory Be is referring to. It always was, it is, and it always will be. It can't be taken away from us if we cling to it. And so that we might not change, not to change our mood, but it will make you wise and little by little change your mood, because our habits, our spiritual habits, our imagination, our memory, they're often unruly. We often have not done a very good job of trying to bring them into line. And so we get started, if we're in the dumps, by simply lifting our hearts to God, asking for the increase of his love and glorifying him. That's where we start. St. Paul said, if anyone sat among you, let him pray. So a little bit of prayer, my dear friends, goes a long way here. So the person then who now in the midst of all these current sufferings, where many people have suffered real losses, I mean, lost loved ones, have suffered because they were sick themselves, or have just suffered the loss of jobs, the losses of not being able to engage in social life, which for many people is extremely important. Well, it's part of our human nature. We love being with others, right? Our Lord says to us, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. The fact is that anything, and I'm speaking to you, whoever you are listening right now, anything that discourages us, that makes us feel like we are unable to have access to the mercy and the love of God in some kind of habitual way, I mean, we can have a passing feeling like that, of course, like we're not able to get to Mass. But the fact is a discouragement in our spirit life that moves us not to take action or not to continue in our struggle. That's all from the devil. That's all there is to it. He is the father of lies, and he wants discouragement. He wants self-accusation. He doesn't want you to have peace. He doesn't want you to ask for forgiveness. He wants you to be far away from Christ. Remember this, the apostle said, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. And we know that prayer for an increase of God's love, for perseverance in his grace, that those who are infallibly heard, no matter how many times we slip up and fall, if we rise and ask for God's pardon and continue to do that, then the devil is vanquished every single time. And that may be why God allows so many slippery sinners, because he likes watching the devil be conquered. Not one big time, but many, many little times because of many, many falls. So rejoice in the Lord always. Words of St. Paul, rejoice in the world. Well, that's because God is near. Because the Lord is near. He is near to you than to yourself. But we have to exercise those strong spiritual powers of faith and of hope and of love. It's not something that is taken like a glass of lemonade or taking a nap or distracting yourself with a show and taking your mind off your troubles. No, faith, hope, and charity, they don't take your mind off your troubles. They direct and channel everything for the good. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his promise. That's what St. Paul said. And so that's what we need, especially in these, my gosh, these difficult times. Our Lord, as I quoted before, for the joy that was set before him, the apostle says, endured the cross. None of us, I don't care how bad off things are, has endured or even come close to enduring what our Lord endured for us. And yet, he views us with great compassion and will lift us up. But we need to have recourse to him, to pray to him, to his Blessed Mother, to our guardian angel, to join him in the happiness of the saints by saying the glory be, maybe over and over again. Just say the glory be 50 times, thoughtfully and prayerfully, using your beads. But just the confidence that if we love God, then really and truly, and we know we do, if we ask for this grace, it's not a scientific proof. It's a fact. What I want, I want. I think that's a safe assumption. When I want something, I want it. When I say I would like to have the love of God, then I have it and not worry about it. And I want more love of God, okay, then you're going to have it. Now, you may not feel it right away, but you're going to definitely have it, because God does not refuse good gifts to his children, especially not the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of charity. How does that feel, brothers and sisters? Well, you know, joy and happiness as a teacher sometimes have been seen as synonyms, right? They're not spelled the same, but they mean the same. So you could say, I was overjoyed at his coming, or I was happy when he came, and mean the same thing. However, the words have two distinct meanings and applications. Even a casual listener would distinguish between rejoice and be happy. Joy suggests a more complete, consuming passion than mere happiness. In short, happiness can be described as an emotion, while joy is properly related to a state of one's being. Joy can also refer to the cause of joy in another. For example, St. Paul repeatedly refers to fellow Christians as his joy in a manner similar to a parent who refers to his child as his pride and joy, right? The Catechism that I have, a wonderful resource, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't bought one before, it's really a wonderful resource to get. The Catechism. Let me just hold on a sec, everyone.
Just going to grab mine here.
So it's the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's the second edition that I have. And I know there's various stores in Toronto where you could buy it. I think it's Pauline's is definitely one of them. But it's the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And what a wonderful resource. And if you refer to it in 1723, Article 1723, it teaches us that true happiness is not found in riches or well-being, in human fame or power, or any human achievement, or indeed in any creature, but in God alone, the source of every good and of all love. In other words, temporal happiness is not enough to satisfy us. We long for the joy of the Lord, right? So recognizing that God is our creator and that we rely totally on him is a source of wisdom and freedom, of joy and confidence. Brothers and sisters, how many times, you know, I mean, you see of people, whether they're athletes, celebrities, singers, actors, and they, you know, making millions and millions of dollars, right? You just wouldn't know what to do with them. I mean, for me, when I think about a baseball player earning $111 million, and I'm thinking, wow, there's so much land in Ontario that you could build several hospitals, beautiful retirement homes with all the amenities, and as a clean and ventilated and outstanding staff, and you know, just so much you could do with the money, right? And I don't know what they do with their money, to be honest, but when I think of the money, the amount, the exuberant amount of $111 million for to play baseball, it's hard to fathom that one, right? It's hard for me to understand. And yet I know they're talented, brilliantly talented athletes, and work very hard at their skills and their profession to do a good job. But they, you know, sometimes you see them, you know, they're getting in trouble with the law, or there have been abuse cases and domestic abuse. And you think, well, why? You know, you have all the money in the world and you can't buy happiness, and they're not happy, some of them, right? So in other words, brothers and sisters, it's not about money, is it? It's not. That's not joy, right? That's not joy. The Pope likened this joy given by God to the joy of a mother embracing her baby after childbirth, because it is a joy purified by the suffering of labor. And some of you may have suffered quite a bit in labor and said, oh yes, I could tell you. Well, my own husband, his real name is Gerard, right? And just before he was conceived, his mom had lost a child just before. And that was supposed to be fourth. And then, of course, then she was pregnant with my husband, Jerry. And, of course, she had a difficult pregnancy, such a difficult pregnancy that she had to be on bed rest. And what happened was she prayed to Saint Gerard, the patron saint of pregnant mothers. And sure enough, when Jerry was born healthy and beautiful, she named him Gerard in honor of the patron saint, Saint Gerard. So beautiful when you think of it, of the suffering she went through, but then here is the joy. And he's a wonderful person. He's such a wonderful man. God bless Bernice and Leo. They did a great job in bringing such a beautiful young boy into this world for me to marry and have a life together. I am so blessed from him. I cannot tell you how much. Yeah, he is a tower of strength for me. Brothers and sisters, the joy of the Christians, as our Pope Francis has said, is a joy and hope. And Pope Francis based his homily, actually, on the observation that St. Paul was very brave because he had strength in the Lord. And he noted that sometimes even the apostle to the Gentiles was afraid. It happens to all of us in life to have some kind of fear, he added. So much so, sometimes wonders whether it would be better off to keep a lower profile or to not be a little less Christian and to seek a compromise with the world. But Paul knew that neither the Jews nor the Gentiles liked what he did, right? Remember, Paul was converted, had that conversion. He was Saul, remember? Yeah, right? And in the end, he endured hardship, and it didn't stop him. And he was persecuted, put in prison. The Pope said that this should make us think about our fears. Even Jesus in Gethsemane felt fear and anguish. And in his farewell speech to his disciple, clearly says that the world will rejoice for their suffering, as was the case with the first martyrs in the Colosseum. We must tell the truth. Christian life is not one big party. Not at all. We cry so many times. And when we're sick, we have a problem in our family and with our daughter or husband, wife. And when we see that our salary doesn't reach what it's supposed to, so many problems. But Jesus tells us, do not be afraid. Yes, you will be sad, but there will be joy. There will be joy. So brothers and sisters, as we continue in this beautiful broadcast regarding joy, because it's, at night it says in Scripture, the night will be long and dark, but in the morning there is joy. There is joy. There really is. And the more we get closer to God and the more we turn to Him for everything, the more joy we're going to see in our lives. So God bless you. Please join me next time. And thank you so much for listening today on The Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. God bless you.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a thing.